Today's daily manna reading was in Matthew chapter 20, particular verses 17 through 34. And in the middle of that passage, in verse 21, the mother of James and John came to Jesus with a request. And she said to Jesus, "Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom." Her request is very similar to the question that the disciples asked Jesus: who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Now, as we look at Matthew chapter 18, in that particular passage there, the first part of the chapter, it is interesting to note these verses within the context, because as you go to chapter 17, verses 22 and 23, while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, "The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him." In other words, just before this, I notice a few other verses, 24 through 27, that talks about tribute money. But Jesus talking there about his betrayal, about his death, and then he adds that the third day he shall be raised again, and the disciples were exceedingly sorry as they heard this. But basically, right after, Jesus tells them, "I'm going to die. I'll come back to life again, but I'm going to die." Maybe after that, it's like they're arguing among themselves as to who would be the greatest among them. And then if you go on to chapter 20, who would be sitting the closest to Jesus? One on the right hand, the other one on the left. So that means the other disciples, well, they'll just have to sit farther away from Jesus. We're arguing here over these kind of things when Jesus is telling them, "I'm going to die." Now, Jesus does not draw their attention to that again, but he does talk about what is going to happen, and he answers that question, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And the first thing that he points out here, and that is in the first four verses, he talks about the humble child. The humble child. Jesus came to his disciples, the disciples came to Jesus, they asked him that question, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. You know, Jesus sometimes taught by means of parables. We know that. Next week we'll be looking at one of those parables, Lord willing. But he also sometimes used real-life illustrations. And here he used illustrations when he set a little child in their midst, and he said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And that's why I said we see first of all here in these verses the humble child. And he really points out here, he said, except ye become as little children, we need to be like children. Children, they are humble. They don't know how to be proud. They're dependent. They don't believe their dependents. Go into the cry room and look at the little ones there. You'll see they're very dependent. They can't do anything for themselves. They're totally dependent. They're needy. Children, as they grow up, Note also how trusting they are. You tell them something, they'll believe it. No questions. They have absolute trust. You tell them the moon is made out of green cheese, they'll believe it. Whatever you tell them, they trust that what you, as an adult, tell them, that is absolutely true. But you know, as you think about that attitude of the children, their humility, their dependency, their need, their trust, this is the kind of attitude that we need to have toward the Lord. As Jesus says, except you be converted and become as little children, we need to be really born again. That's what it refers to. A born again, to become as little children, to be humble, to realize our need, our dependency upon God as we trust in Him. You know, F.I. McMillan, you may not have heard of him, but he wrote a book entitled None of These Diseases. Quite an interesting book where he links health and gives guidelines from the Word of God. But in this book he tells the story of a young woman who wanted to go to university. And as she got ready to consider, she got an application form and started filling in the application form and name and address and the standard kind of questions that were quite simple. But then her heart sank when she came to a question that asked, are you a leader? Are you a leader? And she said, well, I'm not. Really? I'm more of a follower than a leader. What should I do? Well, she was honest. She was conscientious. And so she wrote no on the application form. I am not a leader. She sent in the application expecting the worst. Oh, they probably don't want me if I'm not a leader. All they want is leaders, I'm sure. But sometime later, she got a letter from the university, and she was very surprised by the reply that they gave her. The letter said this, dear applicant, they would have given her name, but McMillan only gives dear applicant. A study of the application forms reveals that this year our college will have 1,452 new leaders. We are accepting you because we feel it's important that they have at least one follower. That girl was humble enough to admit her inability, and it paid off. She was accepted as a student because she was willing, humbly, to admit, no, I am not a leader. But again, it reminds us that we need to be humble. We talked about the subject of humility before, and let me remind you again of a few verses in the Bible that talks about this subject. First of all, Matthew 23 and verse 12. Matthew 23:12. Jesus says, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. He that shall humble himself shall be lifted up, shall be exalted. So the Lord Jesus Christ here talks about that subject of humility. We preached through the book of James, and you may be aware that James also talked several times about that subject of humility. In chapter 4, second half of verse 6 and verse 7, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And then going down to verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. incidentally, the words God resists the proud but giveth grace unto the humble are also seen in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, the last part of verse 5 and then verse 6. God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. You know why both James and Peter have mentioned these same words? Because they're both quoting from the book of Proverbs. Because that's actually Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 34. So, Peter also says, God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So we see a number of verses in the Bible that tell us that we need to be humble. And so that's the first thing that Jesus then mentions in response to that question, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? It is the humble child. But we should also go on as we look at verse 5. Not only do we see that the humble child, but we see also the welcome child. And whoso shall receive one of such little child in my name, receiveth me. He says you receive one of these little ones. You welcome one of these little ones. Well, it's like you're receiving me or you're welcoming me. How do you welcome children? Little children. Do you shake their hands? Ah, that's a child. We don't shake hands with children. Do you talk to them? Or just order them around? Do you recognize them and acknowledge them? Or do you ignore them? You know, Jesus says, whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. See, in the context here, the little child represents either a new convert or a young believer. Well, I guess a new convert and young believer is really the same thing. Although you might say a young believer, someone who is young in age. But it's either a young Christian, someone who's only recently been converted. He or she could be a visitor to the church. You may have heard the story of two men who attended the same church for several Sundays. Now, no one spoke to them those couple Sundays that they were there. And one of these two men said, I'll give this church one more chance. If nobody speaks to me next Sunday, I'll never go back to that church again. The other one said, I don't like this unfriendly church. If no one speaks to me next Sunday, I'm going to have to speak to someone. Well, that's the way it was. Next Sunday, they happened to be sitting fairly close to each other. One was actually sitting in front of the other one. And as usual, after the service, no one came to say hello to them. First man got up and felt, that's it. Nobody talked to me. I'll never come back. But as they started going out of the pew, the man sitting in front of him turned around and said, good morning, sir. I'm glad to see you. Fine sermon, wasn't it? And both were pleased at having made a friend. And they continued to come to that church. They welcomed, well, ultimately, each other. Receiving one such little child in my name, Jesus said, receives me. They received each other. But do you welcome visitors in our church? After the service? Before the service? Well, that's why we have our welcomers, don't we? That's their job. They get paid for it. Well, they don't get paid for it, but it's their job. Do you welcome them when you see a new car pulling into the car park? I don't recognize that car. I wonder, maybe it's a new visitor in church. You know, some churches actually have visitors car parking very close to the church. All the members park far away. Reserved for visitors. If you're a visitor today, park here. I've been able to make use of that couple of times in the U.S. and visiting churches. It's nice, you don't have to walk so far. But do you welcome visitors to our church? I'm shy, I don't know them. Never met them before. Well, I haven't met you either because they're visitors here. So say welcome. Glad you're here. It doesn't have to be a long, drawn-out talk. Glad you're here. I am. Give them your name. Where would you like to sit? Front, back, middle? Nobody wants to sit in the front, I know that. Nobody wants to sit in the back either. So sit them in the middle. All right? We see that. But all that because whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, says Jesus, receives me. Welcome them. Welcome these little ones. Welcome these children. Welcome the visitors that come to our church. Because when you receive them, welcome them into the church, it is like you are receiving our Lord. He says, because whoso shall receive one such little one in my name, receiveth me. So receiving these visitors, welcoming these visitors, is like welcoming our Lord in the church. So don't say, I've never seen these people before. You know, I don't know them. Welcome them. Make sure that they know where everything is in the church. Well, our church isn't very big, so they don't have a lot to tell them. And everybody can see the table out back where the food is. Well, our Lord talks about the humble child, the welcome child. And then let's briefly go to verse 6. The offended child. The offended child. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Now the word offend, as it is used here, means cause to sin. But whoso shall cause one of these little ones to sin, that is the idea there. So offend, cause to sin. As we talk about this, a few years ago, a Sunday school teacher in the United States decided to do a little experiment. She gave her students, they were 10 years old, alright, 10-year-old students. She gave them all a piece of paper and she said, alright, what is wrong with grown-ups? And these are some of the answers that these children, 10-year-old children, came up with. This is what's wrong with grown-ups. Grown-ups make promises that they forget all about them. Or else they say it wasn't really a promise, just a maybe. Grown-ups don't do the things they're always telling the children to do. Like pick up their things, or be neat, or always tell the truth. Third one. Grown-ups never really listen to what children have to say. They always decide ahead of time what they're going to answer. I've got their minds made up already. Fourth, grown-ups make mistakes, but they won't admit them. They always pretend that they weren't mistakes at all, or that somebody else made them. Well, here's the last one. Grown-ups interrupt children all the time and think nothing of it. But if a child interrupts a grown-up, he gets a scolding or something worse. Interesting comments, aren't they, from children? What's wrong with grown-ups? But you know, if we're really honest with ourselves, we must admit that we don't do everything right all the time. We don't always give our children the best example. And when we do something wrong, we sometimes cover it up with some kind of an excuse. But you know what? Children will often see through the excuse. And don't be afraid to say sorry to your children. What we do, remember, affects others. it affects others for good or bad. Could be both ways. Have you ever caused anyone to sin? Probably. You know, you think about it, you have to say, I did that, that was wrong. But you might not have been aware of it at the time. But it does happen, doesn't it? It's one of those things that we really don't like to think about or talk about. But be honest with yourself. As I think about this, I have to be honest with myself. Let's confess our sin to the Lord. Let's ask Him to forgive us. Remember, He's promised to do just that. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now I'd like to turn again to the daily manna reading for today, because it has some very interesting observations. Now I know Matthew 18 was just a few days ago, you know, so that was not actually today's reading. That was for the second, you know, which was Wednesday. But I've mentioned to you that I will be preaching following the readings in daily manna. But listen to what it says here today. All right. What was the question again? Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Remember Jesus' answer? Except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. I pointed out in this chapter, it had to do with the mother of James and John. Lord, can you please, one of my sons on your right hand, one of your sons on your left hand. Now, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Well, the daily manna says this. Greatness is found not in dominion over people, but in the service for others. The great are those who minister. The greatest are those who are bond slaves for righteousness' sake. Skipping down here. By the world's standards, a great man should strive for property, wealth, and worldly fame. However, among the children of God, the greatest is one who chooses to promote the spiritual interest of his fellow creatures. That's the greatest. The one who chooses to promote the spiritual interest of his fellow creatures. And then the closing paragraph says this, happy is that man who is truly humble, who strives to do good in his lifetime, and who walks in the steps of Jesus. Isn't that our church theme for the year? Growing in Christ's likeness. The man who walks in the steps of Jesus. Our camp theme, conference theme, I should say. Walk worthy of the Lord. Happy is that man who is truly humble, who strives to do good in his lifetime, and who walks in the steps of Jesus, resting all his hopes on the ransom paid for him by the blood of Christ. What was the ransom paid for him by the blood of Christ? Well, we just remember that as we remember how our Lord's body was broken for us, how his blood was shed for us. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. It's only through Christ. He died for our sins. He rose again from the dead. And that's the heart of the gospel. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's the heart of the gospel. We need to humble ourselves. We need to become, as Jesus says, like a little child, trusting, totally dependent upon God, realizing that on our own we can do nothing. And Lord, I need you. I need that blood of Christ. For it's only the blood of Christ that can cover my sins. May God help us. to realize who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? It's not the president, or the king, or the queen. It's the person who is willing to humble himself, to become as a little child. Are you willing to do that? Not proud, but humble. For God resists the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. May God help us to tremble, truly humble ourselves, to walk in the steps of Jesus, to trust Christ and Him alone for our salvation. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, how we thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, for that wisdom in answering that question of the disciples, who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Lord, help us to realize that the greatest is the person who humbles himself and faithfully serves Thee. Oh Lord, help us to be like that, humbling ourselves as a little child, for the Lord said the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. We praise this in Jesus' name. Amen.